Hey everybody, this is Samus in Post, and I just wanted to let you know we moved the original opening of the podcast to the end just to make it a little bit more magic-y at the front and a little bit more Samus-y at the back. Hope you enjoy.
This is Two Toes in a Brew, a podcast mostly about Magic the Gathering and trying to get the little bit of edge of trolling people. In particular, my name is Samus. I'm one of your hosts. My co-host, Travis. I wanted to say Tobrell so bad because I've been streaming with Tobrell lately.
Right.
And I hit that T and my brain went, no, Travis. Sorry. I apologize.
It's good. We've only known each other for about a dozen years.
Well, and I'm looking right at you. But yeah. Like I said, I just hit that T and my brain started to go Tobrell instead of Travis. I don't know. Anyway. This week's title, On My High Horse, you just heard it. Hopefully, well, you may have heard it. If you didn't get to hear it because we cut it from the audio podcast, you could check it out at youtube.com/SamusGarobo. The Hangout broadcast is broadcast there. And also, you can see, you know, the occasional flash of Travis' nipple, which is inappropriate, sir. Keep your nipples off the camera.
I'll do whatever I want.
Subtitle this week, $600 worth of sadness. Ooh, I bet there's a story there.
Yep.
All right, well, let's move on to troll cards of the week. This week, I got the opportunity to play some standard or some modern constructed. The last couple times I tried to get modern, it either didn't fire or I was needed in other flights to do things, to make things happen. So I finally got the opportunity to sit down and play some modern. And this was the first week that the majority of my Eldrazi and taxes list came together, Travis. The numbers aren't quite that. You'll check out if you look at the updated list from MTG Goldfish. Some of the numbers are a little bit different. Like I currently only have three Tideholder Scholars because I can only find three that match. Same thing with like Flicker Wisps. Eldrazi Displacers I'm running as a four of right now. I feel like that card is absolutely insane. So a couple little differences in here, and I went 3-1. I lost to Affinity/Robots, whatever people want to call it now, because it's less Affinity and more Robots. But I lost to them in three games because I want to say I flooded out a little bit. But I got to a situation where I had an Aether Vial sitting on three, and I could not find a three drop to basically wrestle control back out of my opponent's hands, where he was just able to go, you know, artifact, creature, artifact, creature, artifact, creature, and get there. But I had a lot of fun with the deck. I really like it, and I want to do some tuning. And that's one of the things I want to talk about later on in the show is sideboarding for modern, specifically for my deck. So that makes my troll cards of the week this week, Wasteland Strangler and Eldrazi Displacer. Yes, two standard cards are my troll cards of the week for my modern deck. I don't know. It was really good. I was able to do a lot of tricks with the Eldrazi Displacer, just like I kind of thought I would. I'm a big fan of Momentary Blink in modern, and Eldrazi Displacer is even better. And coupling it with things like Wasteland Strangler or Tide Hollow Sculler, Flicker Wisp, things like that were just insane. I had a situation where I had like three or four artifacts on the field, and I had sideboarded in my Kataki's War Wage, and I was able to do a situation where I could, at the end of their turn, use an Eldrazi Displacer on a Flicker Wisp, blink, use the Flicker Wisp ability when it comes back into play to blink out the Kataki. So during my upkeep, he was out of phase, right? He was exiled until the beginning of the next instep, which was my instep, right? So I didn't have to pay my upkeep. I spent three mana instead of four, essentially, or five, or whatever the case would be, to keep my artifacts alive. But then they would come back and play at the end of my turn, and then affect my opponent. So, like, there was a lot of interesting interactions like that that I didn't really see when I was just reading the list on paper. But then when I sat down to actually play, they came into effect, and I thought it was really cool. So, anyway, those are my cards. Travis, what's your troll card this week?
Okay, well, before we go on to that, I have a question for you.
Sure.
With the Eldrazi Displacer. So, if you cast a creature for its evoke cost, and then with that trigger on the stack, if you bounce that, can you bounce that creature to get double the effect?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to know.
Yes. You can Mole Drifter a Eldrazi Displacer, you can Eldrazi Displacer a Mole Drifter, and it would come back, and it would not die because it would not be the same creature.
So essentially for 6 mana, you draw 4 cards and get a 2/2?
Yes, the same thing like if you were to Momentary Blink.
Okay.
Dead creature.
That's just what I was double checking.
Yep.
All right, so my troll cards of the week, it's a... I don't know, it's kind of weird because I played against a deck where we were in the last round. I also played Modern. We had 2 different events fire this Friday. It was both Standard and Modern. I decided to play Modern because I don't get that option very often. And see, I went 3-1. And the deck that really stood out to me and I wanted to see it fire because I never saw the deck before, but it was essentially a Jund Dredge deck. You know, it has, you know, the main dredge cards, like what was it, that one that dredges for 6? It's that big creature,
the Grave Troll.
The Grave Troll, Life from the Loam, that flyer that dredges for 5. I can't remember its name, but
The imp. I'm not gonna make it look like I know what I'm doing. I actually pulled up a 5 color dredge list at MTG Goldfish just to answer these questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then he had like Faithless Looting, a few other cards. I can't remember everything off the top of my head.
Like a Gnaw to the Bone.
No, he didn't have Knot of the Bone. Let's see, he had Prized Amalgam, Grave Crawler, Narcomoeba, I think it's called.
Right, Narcomoeba. So yeah. It's very similar to this list here, it looks like. I'm gonna shoot this. I'm gonna add this to the show notes.
And then he had what was it? Conflagrate? Is that the flashback one?
Yep, Conflagrate.
Yeah, because
keep going.
Let's see. Yeah, he had the Neonates market. Okay. What's a scab? He didn't have the scab. He didn't have the Street Wraith.
Street Wraiths are expensive. So that could be part of the issue. I guess they're not that expensive anymore. They were expensive.
What's Ventral Pharaoh? What the hell is that?
It is a 5/4 for 3 black and 2. A
death. Oh, yeah.
It lets it destroy. Whenever combat damage is dealt to you or a planeswalker you control, if Vengeful Pharaoh is in your graveyard, destroy target attacking creature.
Okay. And then
put this guy on top of your deck.
Yeah, so he didn't have the Burning Inquiry or the Dark Blast or the Knot of the Bone. Like, I mean, the deck is different, but basically what he said was he was going through Twitch and he saw 5 cards off of it. He's like, all right, no, I'm going to build this deck. And he didn't even look at it. And he just saw like 5 cards. He's like, no, that's my deck.
He just guessed and figured it out off the theme, basically.
Yeah. And he basically just said that he threw in, you know, the heavy-hitting dredge cards. But his main win condition was the Conflagrate with, what is it, Life from the Loam. So, you know, you pitch him to... Yeah, but no, like, so I was playing against it, and, you know, turn one, I remember this, because turn one I thought seized, and I looked at his hand, I'm like, okay, so you have a dredge and You have three dredge cards, conflagrate, faithless looting, and lands. And I'm just like trying to process it because I've never seen this deck before. So I was just trying to process it. And then like I just came to the conclusion that faithless looting was the most hurtful card at the time. So I threw that away. I was like, well, I'm going to get rid of this because I don't know what you're trying to do. We played game one, and after I saw what he was trying to do, I, of course, sided in Rest in Peace and just shut him down. I want to call it Jund Dredge, but, I mean, he had the blue cards in there, so I'm not exactly sure what you want to call it. But, yeah, that's my entire troll card, is the whole deck.
As we kind of talk about it here, one, that deck sounds pretty sweet. Seems like it's a little easy to shut down.
Yeah.
But it makes me want to put together something along the lines of Conflagrate plus Life from the Loan plus Seismic Assault.
I think you should have some way to ramp. So that way, or at least just get to 5 mana.
Well, I think you probably need something. I don't know exactly what that is, whether it's just spells like Explorer, or if it's something more like
a Creeping Renaissance,
Harrow, or something like that. You know, something that
both feeds the yard.
Yeah, it feeds the yard while also feeding your or accelerating your mana.
Because I figure if you have the new one where you can play it back from your graveyard to play.
Sure.
Put that with Harrow.
I mean, that
that's a great little interaction.
I guess I've seen lists similar to what I'm kind of mulling around in my head, maybe that runs the Gitrog monster, I think. I don't know. I'd have to dig around, but I think that sounds like it could be something appealing. I like the idea of the Street Race. I've got a pile of Street Race up here on the shelf somewhere up here. But yeah, I don't know. I'm intrigued by this idea. Like, I don't play a lot of Dredge, but it could be cool. I would like to put together a couple of modern decks that are outside of the norm for our local meta. And just, you know, have them ready to go for things. But I don't know. Especially with the new PPTQ changes, right? Like, I think, around this area, Modern is a very popular format. I've never been a big fan of Modern. I'm a standard guy. I like knowing my card pool, my card base, more intimately than I do in Modern, because there's just so much.
Right.
But I do like the idea that there's just like this ungodly different number of decks that you could put together and have to be prepared for it. That way, something, you know, like the deck we were kind of kicking around last week, built around Affinity plus, you know, like the little guys. I think that deck, by the way, I think I decided that deck is, in fact, green-white.
Yeah.
And that deck would run the Bygone Bishop and the Tireless Tracker plus the fetch lands.
Okay. And
everything else in that deck would be like a, it could potentially also be Bant, and it could run the, there is a two, a green and a colorless, sorry, a blue and a colorless for a artifact creature. It's a Veldalkon Engineer.
Yeah.
That reduces the cost of your artifacts by one. So it would let you run one mana cost artifact creatures as well. That are colorless mana and play them for zero. So it could help generate some stuff. I don't know if it's necessary or if you could just get away with Mimnites, Ornithopters and stuff like that. I just don't know if you have to have it. But for example, you know, if you have that guy on the field, There's the guy who plays a Phyrexian black mana and a colorless. That guy could be two life. So I don't know. There's a lot of things that could go, but right now I definitely think it is green white, and it takes advantage of those things. And it might also in the sideboard run the thing that says when you sacrifice a clue, you gain two life or three life. That guy could be in the sideboard. Like a 2/4, it's a null, I think. Or
yeah, it's the Graphmole.
The Graphmole.
That so is like, the
that could that be is, that could be like the best sideboard tech against burn.
That is the all star of draft right now, is the Graphmole.
The like, so I won most of the drafts at the shop for the last, you know, that I played in, except for this last time I drafted, because one, I intentionally drafted not the clue deck, but I also ran up against the guy who drafted. My two losses were to the guys who had Planeswalkers. So it's hard to beat Planeswalkers in a limited format, as we'll get to in a few minutes. But it's just one of those things where not drafting the clue deck was totally wrong. The clue deck is just so good and so versatile that if you have any of the pieces, it's worth forcing. I just in draft right now, the clue deck is just super great. And I'm really excited to see what the next set's going to bring for the clues.
Yeah.
Like, it could just be anything, and it'll just be crazy. Like, any good clue card should just explode the format.
Right.
Like, every deck will be a clue deck very soon, probably. So, anyway, those are our troll cards and our kind of explanation. Travis sent me a picture last night.
Pile of garbage.
And I want to get the actual word message here. The message is, I took second with this ... And I looked at the list, and it's hard to make out. First of all, Travis and I both have this terrible problem where we send the pictures like 90 degrees to like, so when we take a picture with our phone, regardless of which way I turn my phone, it always is the wrong way for Travis.
Yep. And that just happened this week for me.
So it took me a while. So I'm like squinting at it upside down, and I see Nahiri, and I'm like, yeah, I hear Planeswalkers are good in draft. And I took a closer look at this list today, and this is a giant mess.
It is. All right. So
tell people about this.
I'm going to first go ahead and,
and I'm going to stick it up on the webcam for a minute. So go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and prefix this by saying that this was a free draft for me this week, because the manager of the shop, he owed me $10, and that's how much our draft was. So I was like, well, screw it. I'm just going to take every rare that I pass. So my first pack was Nahiri. All right, well, I guess I got to run something with that. And what was it? I just started picking all the white and red cards just because, well, I mean, it's Nahiri, so you might as well. But then second and third pack, let's see, second pack, there was actually, what was it, the Deathcap Cultivator, but I wasn't in green yet, but I had, I had Rattle Chains and the Moondrake and Nahiri, so I was like, well, I guess I'll just pass this since I'm just going Jeskai. And then in the second pack, I picked up Avacyn's Judgment, the Falconwrath Gorger, the other Moondrake, and then just, you know, other cards. But then the third pack, I opened up Sigarda. I was like, well, I guess I'm going to force green because, well, why not?
It's not too late to go a fourth color.
Yeah, exactly. It's never too late to pick up an extra color. And had I picked up the Forsaken Sanctuaries that I saw, I would have picked up a black rare, and just because. True. But like I saw the rare, I'm like, do I take this? Five colors is kind of difficult, and pretty sure I'm not going to see any more, you know, dual lands. But yeah, going ultimate with Nissa and getting either Sigarda or the Moondrakes is just absurd.
So let's just run this down real fast. So you have two Moondrakes.
Yeah.
An Abbasid's Judgment, an Ahiri, a Sigarda, a Rattle Chains, a Seasons Past, and the Fulicus Gorger.
Yeah,
the
Falcon Wrath Gorger.
Whatever. I don't care. It's a Savannah Lion.
Yeah.
And then you have two of the Dauntless Cathars.
Yep.
That make the 1/1 flyers for
two.
The 3/2s for two that make a 1/1 flyer when it's in the graveyard.
Yeah.
You have two of the foxes for just generic 3/1 power. You have the Chaplain, which is the 1/3 lifelink that makes two flyers, yeah. I believe. You have a Sure Strike, a Chaplain's Blessing.
I have two Chaplain's Blessing.
Two Chaplain's Blessing because you
all star of the deck
cards.
No, I was feeling that, you know, the deck is going to be slow because, well, look at that bomb pack, those bomb, you know, just the bombs over there. And so I was like, all right, well, I got to gain life out of this. So I took those, and every time I played them, they won me the game. But, you know, they didn't win the game, but they stabilized me long enough so I could.
Turn. They gave you the turn to win?
Yeah.
Then you have two Silent Observers, so the 1/5 flyers. You have a Lamp. I can't even say it.
Yeah, that's the zombie. It's the 3/5 for 5. When it comes into play, if you control another zombie, cycle pretty much.
Okay, like draw one, discard one?
Yeah. Draw one. I think it's, I can't remember.
And then you have two Incorrigible Use, a Geist Blast, a Fiery Temper, and then you have a couple of coming-to-play tap duels.
Yeah, I have four coming-to-play taps. It's the Stone Quarry, the red-white, two of the blue-red, and the blue-green.
And you said you ended up going second. To be really honest with you, I would almost imagine, I mean, I guess your blue is almost free to splash. I don't know. I don't think I would run the blue cards. I think I would have found better.
There wasn't
better other color cards.
Well, there wasn't
Joker other color cards.
Yeah.
I think the green splash is fine. Seasons Past, Sigarda are probably worth the splash, but like the Moondrakes are also okay. Like Rattle Change, Silent Observer, the Lamphead, they're just, I don't think they're worth it. The rest of this deck basically, I think, carried you. Like the power of Sigarda and Nahiri, Incorrigible Use, the Kalthars, they just feel, looking at it, it just feels great.
Right. Basically how the deck played out, I got the Silent Observers and I just sat behind them. And then waited for a bomb. That's pretty much how I had to play the deck.
Yeah, and I think that has to do a lot more with the fact that you had so many cards that made you sit back.
Yeah.
Than really necessary. Like, if you would have had, I don't know, let's just say like a wolf, like one of the 2/2 pump wolves. In green, like if you had two of those over the Silent Observers, I feel like you would have had enough that you could have been on the front foot a lot.
Right.
It is hard to tell because you didn't lay this out by converted mana cost. You laid this out by rarity.
And then by color.
So it's hard to like tell, but like it feels to me that that this should be okay on curve for the most part. If you could replace some of these four drops with like any kind of two drop, really. Like I'm looking at this and I see 3/2 drops, the two foxes and a Rattle Chains, and Rattle Chains is not good on defense. I don't think it can block, can it?
Yeah, it can.
Is it like a flying flash that can't block?
It's flash flying. Whenever or when it comes into play, target spirit you control gains hexproof, and you can play spirits as though they had flash.
So it's just a 2/1 flyer with flash with no downside?
Yep.
Fuck blue. Sorry, language. And I'm a blue player. Jesus. Anyway, like I said, I think the I think a lot of these cards are just strong. So, I don't know. You could have used, like, any other red or any other, like, red creatures would have done the job. Like, I feel like any mediocre, even in a mediocre chaff would have been just as good as this generic blue stuff you have in here. And the mood drakes are fine, but you could run, like, one of those in there and the off chance you get your Nahiri ultimate off. And just
fireball with them.
You took second.
Well, yeah, that's because...
If you would have told me that you won the draft with this pile of stuff, it would have been a different story. I'd have been like, oh, you are the master. I bow to you.
How but are you so great?
You were the first loser.
Yeah, well...
You won in the sense that you came out way ahead, but like hitting the one Nahiri puts you way ahead, so...
Yeah.
The rest of it's just icing. Like, the rest of these cards are, what, maybe 50 cents to a dollar a piece?
Yeah, something like that. So, but, like, the only deck that I lost to was, I'll let you take a guess at it. I'll give you two chances.
It's got to be the clue deck.
Just let me finish. I'll give you two chances as to what archetype they were, and I'll give you a hint. It wasn't the clue deck.
So it has to be the clue deck.
Well, it wasn't.
Okay, well...
I beat the clue deck.
Wow, that must not have been a very good clue deck then.
He just wasn't firing.
I get two guesses?
Yep.
Was it the clue deck?
No.
I'm out of guesses. It must have been the vampire deck then.
Nope.
Wow.
Werewolves.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, this deck would be slow against werewolves. Again, because you have these really late game mediocre cards of Silent Observers, and you like in that situation, you have to pray that you can get them down and that they can block their transform werewolves.
Right, but I mean, having the blockers wasn't
two drops that you know.
Having the blockers wasn't the issue because, well, I could create blockers all the time. The issue was. The person, he had grabbed the, what was it? Well, he grabbed all the green removal, like the green fight cards, the one-sided right. fights. He grabbed all of those. Like, I swear he had five different ones.
The best cards in that
deck. Card. Yeah. But then, oh, that stupid artifact. It's like every week he grabs it and...
The journal?
No.
Okay. I don't care anymore.
Oh, I do, because it always gets me. The True Faith Censor.
Oh, I love that card.
Yeah, so do I.
A lot of people don't respect that card. I think it's good. I think it's a really good card.
They need to, because it is just ridiculous. Oh, my creature is stronger, plus it has vigilance? All right, well.
And then if it happens to be human, it's even stronger.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good equipment. I was watching LSV draft a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, I think I'm in the humans deck. And then he just picked up like two or three of those equipments. And he's like, yeah, I don't think I'll play these all, but you know, whatever. I think he ended up playing them all.
Right.
It's just, they're great in that deck. So moving on, there was a Legacy Grand Prix this last weekend. And I didn't care. I didn't pay anything to it at all. Travis, you keep making meh sounds.
Yeah.
I'd like to assume it wasn't on your radar. Eternal Masters came out. Also kind of meh.
Meh.
Like, it's just hurting me financially, so I'm kind of meh on it. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully everything will bounce back and get bigger, but I doubt it. So we have three main topics for today, even though we've talked for like half an hour now. We have three main topics. We have modern sideboard options, specifically for my Eldrazi and Taxes list. We have, I really kind of excited about the potential of this blue-white control deck in standard, but I do almost believe that it should be more dragons. Like, I don't know, we can take a look at that in a little bit. And then we have an email from a listener, Joe, who I think will kind of touch towards the end. So which of these two do you want to move to first? Do you want to talk about this standard control list, or do we want to delve into modern sideboard options?
Well, that standard control list isn't one of my two standard control lists, so let's talk about the modern.
Okay. So I ran relatively close to what's listed on the Eldrazi or the MTG Goldfish list. I didn't have 100% of these cards, but I had a bunch. So I was running like a Talkies. I couldn't find my Rest in Pieces. I ran some Stony Silences. I had the Zealous Persecutions. I ran Reality Smasher. And being able to go up to four Reality Smashers is huge. I definitely think I want to be able to do that. Things that I didn't have, like I said, I couldn't find my Rest in Pieces. I definitely need to be higher on the list. I couldn't find Spellskites. And I couldn't find Wallery Surgeons. But for the most part, I feel like some of these cards are wrong. Like every time I had a Stony Silence in my hand, I didn't want to cast it. I just felt like it was the wrong card. Because my deck relies so heavily on Aether Vial, I just never wanted to. I never wanted to play it. So I'm not sure. Like that seems like an auto cut to me. Spellskites seem okay, at least for my meta. Like Boggles is pretty popular, Burn's pretty popular. So I can see them coming in. I just need to acquire a couple. But like this Brington Forge Tinder.
Wait, hold on. I'm gonna interrupt you really quick.
Okay.
Are you wearing a Ninja Turtle shirt?
I'm wearing my Teenage Mutant Ninja Cheese shirt.
Yeah, I just saw the bandana and a dark yellow slash green.
The cheese turtles are fighting the Shredder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this shirt.
My new shirt came in too.
I know, I heard. I don't see it because you're topless, but still.
Hey, you know what? I got a house to myself, so I'm also bottomless.
I don't blame you. Yesterday was no pants Monday on stream. But I only stream from the chest up, so it's fine.
Every day after work has been no anything day.
The way God made me.
Exactly.
Naked.
Naked and cynical.
And full of tattoos.
It's yeah.
Not here yet, that's all.
Yeah, they haven't grown in yet. Anyways, go back to your list. Sorry about that interruption.
No, it's fine. I'm just trying to think of sideboard cards for the things that I know that'll be floating around, right? So my metagame is, and I don't know how much of this applies to every metagame. I need to kind of figure it out, especially for upcoming bigger tournaments, right? But my metagame that I can think of is Boggles.
Yeah.
On.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of robot slash affinity build.
Yep.
A mill deck actually popped up, which I thought was cool. It's just like the one I've been playing online, the Fog mill deck, which okay. Makes me want to play like one, like a big fat Eldrazi, so I can sideboard it in so it hits the trigger and then reshuffles. Something right. That gives that effect. It could be something else. I don't know. Let's see what else is floating around. Remington's big green ramp deck is there. Joe just sent us, like I said, the list that we'll talk about later. Another mill deck, which I'm not even going to call a mill deck. I'm going to call it an exile deck. And then what else do we kind of have floating around?
You got to have Goblins.
Well, but there's not really that floating around in my meta.
Wow. Now I understand why I left Kansas, because nobody plays the best deck in the format.
If you say so.
I do.
But like, and there's not really any combo, like a Kiki Cord or anything like that. Not yet, anyway. So those are kind of like the main decks. Of course, there are weird outliers, like Soul Sisters probably get put together here pretty soon. Is there another major deck that I can think of that gets played? Let me just hit the
Soul Sisters. I can see that shutting you down.
I don't think it would shut me down. It would just take a while to grind through. There's one. Scapeshift. Mm-hmm. Scapeshift gets played. Occasionally we get an infect deck that floats around. Merfolk occasionally comes around. But those are the main decks, I guess.
So what's in your sideboard right now?
Well, we kind of ran down that. At least bits and pieces. Right now, what I know is in this deck are Kataki's and two Reality Smashers. That's what I know is in this sideboard right now.
Okay, so you have two Smashers.
Two Smashers and probably three Kataki's.
Three Kataki's. Okay, so you're still looking at 10 cards.
I'm still looking at 10 cards. I'm trying to figure out what are just in general the best options for the format in my deck.
Do you have Aven Mind Censor?
I had them in the sideboard. I never wanted to bring them in.
Well, I mean, if you're playing against Scapeshift, that's really the only thing that I can see it being worthwhile against is Scapeshift.
Yeah, well, the four Arbiters are generally enough, I feel.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, not always, but usually.
Right.
And then the display, like, this thing has a lot of hand control. Like, a lot more than I really kind of realized with the way the Scholars work with the Eldrazi Displacer. Like, you can really make stuff go.
Yeah.
There was a situation where I was playing against the Mill player, and I even, like, gave him back cards to end up eating more of his hand because I just had enough mana. So I'm like, here, have this card back, and I'm going to eat, like, three cards and then take that card back and sit it underneath my Scholar.
Right. Okay. Let's see. And you're playing black, so... Ooh, what's that? Actually, you're playing white, too, so Suture Priest could help against, like, one of the Kiki Cord decks.
So, here's the card that... I guess I'm a liar. I'm pretty sure that some number of these go in the deck. Ensnaring Bridges?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure some number of Ensnaring Bridges go in because they catch a lot of the miscellaneous stuff. And they really don't affect me that much because most of my creatures sit around two.
Right.
So it's pretty easy for me to keep one to two cards in my hand and then bounce around. So, like, those seem like an easy fit.
So just put two Ensnaring Bridges in?
Two or three, however many I have, I think. I think my meta is big enough where I just play them all.
Play three?
I think it hits enough. Three or four even. Like,
let's just go with three because now you have seven cards left to still fill on your side.
Seven cards. So what was the one you were saying? Something Priest?
Yeah, Suture Priest. Suture. Like, it would be, if there's, like, do you have a Kiki Cord player or infinite, you know, an infinite creature creation combo deck?
I see. So I gain a life when something appears on my side. When they play something, they lose a life.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. I just feel like against them, I want to play something that just shuts down tokens.
So then...
Like, I want to play something like... Oh, I don't know.
Hallowed Moonlight?
Yeah, something like that. Like, Hallowed Moonlight or something that's maybe even more versatile. Isn't there an enchantment or something that makes... creatures equal to their
CMC.
Yeah, but that wouldn't work because tokens get the CMC.
Right.
No. Is that even right? Do token creatures get the CMC? They should, right?
Well, they. If it says they become a copy of the creature.
Otherwise, it just says make a token.
Right.
Because, like, I was looking at
Because if you remember Pack Rat in all of its glory.
Oh, I love Pack Rat. I could almost play Pack Rats in this.
Do it. This is a playset.
I thought about it. Pack Rat, say, put a copy of Pack Rat.
Yeah.
Not a token. Make a token that is a copy. And copies get converted right. by cost. Tokens don't. But like the enchantment that gives all tokens -2/-2.
Virulent Plague.
Virulent Plague. Engineering Explosives for 0. Seems okay. I really kind of need Engineering Explosives to be able to get the 3. But I can't. There was a lot of times where I needed to blow it up for 3, and I just sat in my hand because I couldn't get it to 3. I don't know. I'm trying to think what else really would be to shut down tokens. Because we do have a lot of token decks. Actually, we didn't mention the black-white tokens, which we have at least 2 players in our meta that plays black-white tokens.
That's what I played on Friday.
Yeah, so I need a way to shut that down. Although, I guess, technically, Ensnaring Bridges helps with tokens.
Right.
Because most of the token decks, they're all about pumping the tokens. At least they have the +2/+2 enchantment. What else? I don't know. This is where I come into trouble. And I'd like to have other people's suggestion. Like I said, Stony Silence is just bad against me. I can't lose my own Aether Vials.
Why not?
Pieces probably be okay.
So, did you have issues with the Boggle deck?
I didn't get to play it.
Oh.
I only lost in the finals.
Okay.
I lost in the finals to robots.
I was going to say, if you're having issues with the Boggles, then why not just like maybe a 1 or 2 of Geth's Verdict? It's one where they sacrifice a creature and lose 1 life.
Well, those are really bad against the Boggles deck because typically they can, if they're playing good, they're playing well, they can use a fetch land to go get a Dryad Arbiter and then just sacrifice it.
Okay.
In general, those cards are bad. Crackling Doom.
Yeah.
The Boggles player. But I don't want to add a third color because this deck doesn't run any fetches. So I would have to cut like caves. Well, that's not true. No, it is true. I don't run any fetches. I'd have to run some sort of like
Battlefield Forge.
Yeah, Battlefield Forge or something to not.
That's not going to be a big deal.
I mean,
no, I already declared it.
I do take a lot of damage from my pain lands. But yeah, I could get away with something like taking out the plains and the swamp and running some combination of Battlefield Forges and is it Tar Pits? Sulfuric? I don't know. Whatever the black red one is. I forget.
Dragon? No. I mean, that is a black red one, but it's not the. There's one that it deals damage to you, but then there's one that it comes into play tapped unless you control a swamp or a mountain.
Yeah, but I need the ones that generate a colorless mana. Sulfuric Springs. Because I need to have access to the colorless mana. The fact that Godless Shrine and Shambling Vent don't tap for colorless mana did get me a couple of times. So.
Wow. Yeah. Way to be crappy cards. Thanks, Wizards.
I'm just saying. Need to be able to tap for that colorless mana. At the same time, you need to be able to, like, I had a lot of hands were like one land, like an Eldrazi Temple, for example, and an Aether Vial. And sometimes I was able to get there, and sometimes my opponent bounced my Aether Vial back to my hand. So yeah, I don't know. I wish I knew. I would love for the listeners to send me other options for the sideboard. Like I said, I think I want to have one card that if it gets milled, reshuffles my library.
Put one Emrakul in the sideboard.
like Emrakul or something that's a little bit easier to cast, maybe. I do have the Eldrazi Temple, so it is possible that I could get to 4 or 5 mana or 6 mana pretty easy. I did cast a Reality Smasher on turn 3, at least one game.
No big deal.
Yeah, so I mean,
I've done that before.
There's got to be a way to... There has to be one an Eldrazi that has that kind of effect for a casting cost that I could potentially hit, right?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly which one it is, but it is possible. There was one game I had like 9 mana or 10 mana. And then at least one of the temples. So I could have possibly gotten to 10 or 11 mana. So I don't know what they all cost, all the Eldrazi's that have that shuffle effect, but it's got to be at least one that I could get probably cast. I don't know. I'm not sure what else is the right calls for this kind of thing. Like, do I want to run something to shut down enemy Stony Silences? Do I want to run, you know what I mean?
Right.
Something like a...
I feel if you're playing against robots...
Disenchant.
Yeah, well, I feel if you're playing against robots, then you might just have to bite the bullet and put in the Stony Silence.
Well, and that's where the 3 Itakis, I think, would probably get the job done. Like, the nice thing about Itakis is they can attack, where Stony Silence never attacks. And good robot players can deal with the hate from a Stony Silence. In fact, I was playing, like I said, in the finals, at least one game. I think game 2, because I won game 1, where I had a Stony Silence in my hand, but it would come down, like, my opponent sideboarded in the 2/2 that gets protection from all colors, and then equipped a Cranial Plating, like the next turn I was going to play the Stony Silence, so it just didn't matter anymore. All it was going to do is shut off my ether vials. It was going to shut off my ether vials, which were my only outs at that point. Was I needed to hit one of the 3 mana Eldrazi's, like the Wasteland Strangler or the Displacer, to shut off the to stop that creature. Like, I could kill the 2/2 with a Wasteland Strangler, or I could blink it with Eldrazi Displacer, and basically got in a position where I was fine. But if I would have shut off my ether vials, I was just dead. So I just feel like they come down too slow and they just don't give me enough play, as opposed to the Katakis I could flash in and at least make a block or whatever if I need to. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to do. I'd love to hear it from you guys. If you want to send an email like Joe did, like some of the other listeners have done in the past, it is the number 2trolls@gmail.com. At least I think that's right. I'm about 50% positive. So let's look at this blue-white control list for just a second. The things that I love about this deck: Dragonlord Ojutai, always watching. Dragonlord Ojutai, Solengar Storn, always watching. The end.
So basically, you don't like the control aspect. You just like the dragons that can, be the dragons.
Well, like, this idea of always watching plus Dragonlord Ojutai. Like, I like this Reflector Mage. I like this Knight of the White Orchard. These are good cards.
Shocking.
And they're like, I like them in this deck well enough. But the idea of Dragonlord Ojutai plus always watching
is ridiculous.
Yeah, it just sounds like the nut, right? And Solengar Scorn, and then the Clash of Wills. Like, Clash of Wills seems like fine or whatever, but like, I don't know, those things just come together. I don't dislike this Archangel Abyssin. I don't dislike it, but to me, this deck would be even better if it was like Dragonlord Ojutai, Eldrazi Displacer, Eldrazi Skyspawner, Reflector Mage, Always Watching, Solemgar Scorn, and like there has to be another dragon that you want to put in this deck. Right? Like it just feels like there's a deck here that maybe loses a little bit in the control area, but not really, because you're still running stupid good stuff like Knight of the White Orchard, Reflector Mage, yep. Sky Spawner.
Well, I mean, and if there's one thing that's better than a dragon, it's a slightly bigger dragon that also doesn't tap.
Right. I mean, it just seems so good how I did not come up with the idea of, oh, you know what would be awesome? This Dragonlord Ojutai with this Always Watching card. Like, this is like peanut butter and jelly. Like, oh, you got my Always Watching in my Dragonlord Ojutai. Well, you got your Dragonlord Ojutai in my Always Watching. Like, to get, I didn't see those two cards coming together, I guess. And those things just seem crazy. Like, maybe this is a blue, white, green. Like, maybe this is a Bant deck waiting to happen. Just so you can have
Dramoka.
Yeah, Dramoka. Or the 3-2 Tireless Tracker. Like Tireless Tracker plus Knight of the White Orchard plus, you know, some basic fetch land stuff. Like, it seems great. I mean, maybe I still got my modern hat on and you really don't want the green splash. But I don't know. Like, Gideon seems terrible in this list to me. Like, and Gideon's an amazingly good card. Always run Gideon if you want to. But, like, it just seems like the wrong card. Like, you just want more Always Watchings and more big, amazing flying creatures that do more things. I don't know. What do you think, in a nutshell? Am I wrong? Should we not just be playing Dragonlord Ojutai and Always Watchings?
I think we should play it. No, I think an aggro dragon list would be good, especially since it's not black red aggro.
Right. I mean, because the one Dragonlord, the green white Dragonlord, it has lifelink, right?
Yeah.
So you have like this huge lifelinking flying monster. You have Dragonlord Ojutai for card filtering slash drawing. You have your Sky Spawner for just like early blocking. And a 3-2 Vigilance Flying seems okay for 3 mana. Reflector Mages still seem good. The challenge is going to be, in my opinion, activating like a Eldrazi Displacer in this list.
Right.
Because there isn't a pain land that kind of works through here. So you'd have to kind of make some weird changes. I don't know. This is another one of those deck lists that I think has some really interesting potential power to it. This deck also runs Linvala, the Preserver, in the sideboard, Travis.
I'm sold. Well, I guess that's why it doesn't have the main, you know, all the creatures, because it has Linvala.
Well, it's running 4 Reflector Plates, 4 White Knight of the White Orchard, 4 Eldrazi Displacer, 4 Dragonlord Ojutai, and 2 Advisons. Like that, I would not say that's not running a lot of creatures.
It's not just enough.
It's just.
I've seen more.
Sure. I don't know. Like, I think some number of these Gideons becomes Always Watching, and I'd play this list.
I think you should do it.
God, I don't know if I want to. Like, I don't know how many Archangel Abyssins I have. Like, one.
The rest. Hey, that's 100% more than I have.
Well, sure. I don't know. Again, do I need more standard decks right now? Yeah. I have like three put together, ready to go. I don't even get to play standard. I had to go out of my way 2 or 3 weeks in a row to play something. And I still didn't get to play in the tournament the Esper pack list. I did get to play it some Friday, though. That was great. But I don't know. I didn't die to my own packs. I didn't die to packs. It was a lot of fun. I am looking forward to trying it in a tournament. I need one more damnable pack to flesh the deck out. I only have three. I need four. But it was fun. Had a good time. Anno, what do you like in standard right now? Like, what's your deck of the choice in standard?
Currently, I am going between mono black control and blue white mill.
Using Sphinx's Tutelage?
Sphinx's Tutelage and the new Jace and Nahiri with a combination of Startled Awake or Telepath. Yeah.
I gotcha. Talent of the Telepath?
Yeah, Talent of the Telepath. So, because Nahiri's her neg 2 is the next spell you play, or the next, when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell from your hand this turn, it gains rebound.
Okay, you're talking about Narset.
Yeah, what did I say?
Nahiri.
Ah, well, whatever. They're both white planeswalkers that are females with an N name, so, okay. I mean, really, this isn't my fault.
They're exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
One kills things and exiles them and then brings them into play with huge and angry.
The other one
bounces things and casts multiple spells. Same card.
Like, you're giving me crap about this, but you called me Tobrell.
No, I started to call you Tobrell. I stopped myself. I went,
well, whatever.
Yeah.
They're the same card.
Same thing. Same thing. They both cost 4 mana.
Yeah, exactly. So they both come into play with counters on them. So
they both have lady parts.
Yeah. So I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah.
They both have white in their mana cost, and they both have the letter N to begin their name. Yeah. Actually, the first two letters are the same. So I mean, that's even closer.
You know what? Your logic's infallible here.
Yeah. So
100% right, Travis. Yep. Boom. Done.
Let's go ahead and move on.
So, Joe sent us an email wanting us to take a look at his deck list.
Which Joe?
Your friend Joe.
Okay. My hype man.
I don't know what your relationship is to him.
He's my hype man.
Okay. Sure. You and your blowjob friend.
Yeah. You go look at his cover photo.
I'm really surprised that this deck isn't in colorblind friendly mode. That's all I have to say.
It is. He's red green colorblind.
Oh,
so he can see the blue and the black.
Okay, so so this deck list, and I rearranged it slightly to make a little bit more sense in my brain. 4 surgical extraction, 4 extradites.
Wow, you're 0-2 right now.
What are you talking about? Surgical extractions and extradites.
Okay. Well, you said it right the second time, but also it's extricate.
Oh, there's no D in there. All right, extricate. Then we have 2 Tormod's Crypts, and then we have 4 Glimpse the Unthinkable and 2 Archive Traps, 3 Boomerang, 3 Counterbore, Void Shatter, and 4 Mantileaks. And then I put in like a miscellaneous category, 3 Days Undoing and 2 Ashioks. This is like,
don't forget,
a mentally handicapped monkey having sex with another mentally handicapped monkey.
And that right there is Joe's train of thought, which is why we love him.
And they have birth, or they give birth to a potato.
And this potato was glorious.
No, this potato was terrible.
Well, like, I mean, it's better than his last mill deck.
I get the thinking, right? Like, there are parts of this deck that I think are really good. The problem is 100% of this deck is better in the Lantern Control list. Like 100% of the way these cards that are good work better in that list than this list. It's basically relying on six mill cards, four Glimpse the Unthinkable, and two Archive Traps to basically give you the opportunity to extract up to eight cards out of their graveyard. And then your whole point is to reshuffle the deck so you do it again, and you're praying that you can counter with your Mana Leaks and your Void Shatters their two or three threats. This just loses to like everything that slips underneath your counter spells.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely need board wipes. Terrible. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it's better than his other mill deck.
I haven't seen it, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say sure.
Okay, so his other one, the win condition, if he doesn't mill you out, what is that? The Mind Crank.
Okay.
That's the one whenever you lose a life, you mill the top card or whatever. Okay. So that artifact with the Dimir Guildmage, the one that was like, you pay three and target player mills or puts the top card of their graveyard and or library into the graveyard. And you can also pay four. It says whenever they mill a card, they lose a life. So the combo relies. Yep.
I'm already done with the conversation. And I like bullshit combos, but that's even more bullshit than I can stand.
Oh, like, but when it fires,
I literally want to slip my wrist now just thinking about it. No, this, if you're gonna do something like this, right? Start with something solid. Start with something like, I don't know, like.
So,
Painter Servant plus Sphinx's Tutelage. Like, start with something like that, and so, then go to the craziness of the extractions.
So I want to go ahead and put my two cents on mill. And this is just something I've learned over the years of playing, or at least attempting to play successful mill decks. When you play a mill deck, your primary concern is not mill. Like, that is the only...
mill them.
Yeah. Like, that is the only deck where your primary win condition isn't your primary objective.
Right. You want to stay alive long enough for it to accidentally happen.
Right. And, like, I think if he took out, I don't know, Torment's Crypt and Extirpate for board wipes and take out Day's Undoing because, well...
You know what would be better? You know what would be a better mill deck than this right now? And it's crazier combo, right? So bear with me. What is the Alter the Brood, right?
Yeah.
Alter the Brood, zero casting cost artifact creatures, and Cloudstone Kyrio.
Yeah.
That is a better mill deck than this.
Yeah. There's actually one of the... There was a dude who
I'm so aggravated, right? You don't even know how aggravated I am at this deck list.
There's a dude here who... He just went back home because, well, college got out, so it was cheaper for him to go back home for the summer.
Right. Never want to stay at your college if you're not going to classes during the summer.
Right. And he had this just amazing deck idea for Ultra the Brood and Heartless Summoning. And
okay. I have some good news. Katie okay. found.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where was she at? Was she at her friend's house? Okay, well, let's take that out. Yeah, let's take that out of the show because they don't need to know.
I have to make a note now to... No, fuck it. It's staying in.
All right. So basically, yeah, Altar of the Brood and Heartless Summoning, and then he had a bunch of like, you know, normally two or three casting creatures that he now cast for one, you know, just to get them out faster. And they all did different things. Like, I think he had a Mole Drifter in there. So he cast that for one mana, draws two cards, they mill one. And then, I mean, then it dies, but, you know, irrelevant.
Sure.
Because yeah, it was going to die either way.
I don't know. Like I said, there, you have a lot of options. It's just, this seems really bad.
A mill deck's main concern isn't mill. And that's like, that's the worst thing about being a blue mill deck. Right. Is not being able to focus on, like, I think that's both simultaneously the best and worst part about having a mill deck, is because it really gets your inner mage thinking. Because you have to think of ways to not die while simultaneously trying to win, when there's a lot of decks where you're just like, all right, well, basically, I just got to race this dude over here.
Right.
Good luck me.
I said, I feel for this deck. Again, there are good cards in it, but the things that this deck wants to do is better served in the other place.
Yeah.
I don't know. Try. Have a fun. Go play some Magic.
That's what Joe does.
And when you're done with this mess, think of something else and send it to me. Let's take a mulligan on this deck. And I love it. I love you. I love everything about this deck. It's the greatest deck I've ever seen. It's the Donald Trump of decks.
But it needs to change entirely. Like, that's
right. With 100% new cards, this deck would be outstanding.
Take out Extirpate, Tormod's Crypt, Day's Undoing, and put in...
all new cards.
Yeah, 9 different things that are better. Like, I don't know, spot removal.
I like the Tormod's Crypt, actually. Like, I like the Tormod's Crypt better than I like any of the other cards. Like, any of the Extirpates and Extractions and stuff like that. Like, I feel like the Tormod's Crypt, they at least do something.
Well, I think the Surgical Extraction should
work with the Day's Undoing.
I think Surgical Extraction should go to the grave or to the sideboard for, like, you know, like we were saying earlier, Emrakul. If they're playing multiple Emrakuls in the deck. I mean, Tormod's Crypt, that's only going to hit one, but right. for 2 life or 1 mana, Surgical Extraction is going to hit all of them.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm less worried about that, and I'm more worried about taking advantage of these Day's Undoings.
Oh yeah,
I want to shuffle my library in, or my graveyard into my library, and get rid of yours, and then right. We'll go to 7. Like, to me, that's. That is just better than here. I suppose there is the possibility of saying most of your deck is lands. Play like that, right? Like, that is a thing that could happen. But if you're trying to kill them by them running out of cards and not just them flipping the table over and conceding the match. Like, playing against this deck, let's pretend it doesn't lose in the 50 minutes, right? Let's just pretend that's what happens. I'm pretty sure it does. I'm pretty sure it loses in the 50 minutes. But let's pretend it doesn't. So playing against this deck for 49 minutes and not winning is as close as I will get to wanting to flip the table over. And if that's the goal that you have, Joe... awesome, but you're not going to make it to 49 minutes. You're going to the 2/2 that they slipped in under your counterspell, or the 2/1 they slipped under your counterspell on turn 1. But let's even pretend they never cast another creature, except they cast that same creature 3 additional times because you boomerang it. Like, if that's the only thing that slips through the table, you're going to lose to that creature. It's so close and yet fails. I can't put it together. Like, if I could, this is the Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump of decks. There you go. Now I've insulted everybody equally.
That's not true. You haven't hit the good party. Libertarians.
Because I can't make fun of them.
Yeah, you're right. They're perfect.
I'll get to it eventually. One of them will do something. One of them will like be caught touching a boy or something.
One of them will mess up.
Statistically, it's got to happen sooner or later.
Right.
Cluster fuckeries. All right. Man, I swore again. That's not good. All right. Let's move on. Let's play a game.
So you want to get to the subtitle really quick? It's kind of upsetting.
Tell me the story.
So I went to go pay on a student loan, and I had $600 in my account, and I went to pay $190 just so I could, you know, just take a small chunk out, and I accidentally put down $1,900. Yep. And then my bank somehow processed it like I had $1,900 in my account. So that overdrafted me down to $1,300 and some odd dollars.
In the hole.
And
the overdraft bank.
Yep. And then they called me in and we tried to work something out. And basically they were like, yeah, if the bank manager allows it, then we can reduce your account to zero and take out $300 every paycheck until you get us paid back. I'm like, well, that's better than not having money. And that's where the $600 of sadness comes in. With the exception of the cards that I have in my standard, modern, and commander decks, I sold my collection so I could basically have food. And, yeah.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, it really is. It's just...
Oh, I guess that 11-hour overtime helped, huh?
Well, that wasn't overtime. That was just a shift because a dude didn't come in. That brought me up to, it brought me up to 42 hours, but yeah, 2 hours of overtime.
Yeah, I don't know. That's some bad beats right there. I think I would have just told the federal government they could lick my balls and that the bank needed to make a stop payment. I mean, I've had a long history of my bank in particular. I use UMB Bank and I hate them. I've always hated them, but my wife likes them. So we use UMB Bank. But when I was in high school, they had a $30 minimum balance. If you ever went below $30, then they bounced your check. They gave you a fee. They gave you a $5 fine or something, right?
What the hell?
So I wrote a check that would have put me at $32, if I remember right. They charged me the $5 fee, which made the check hit that $30 mark so they could charge me the $5 fee. And that started a chain reaction that caused me to bounce like four checks in a row.
Wow.
Because of that. And this was back when, you know, you only really got your statements once a month or whatever. So then I was like, because of this series of like bouncing effects that started to happen, because, you know, things should have come out the way that, you know, I wrote like one check a week or whatever, like this should not have been a problem. Right. But because of this extra $5, it started with $5, then went to 30, then went to 30, then went to like 60 or something. But it started this out. I ended up owing them like $300 in bounce fees. And my account was in the negatives.
Ladies and gentlemen, corporate banking.
So stay away from UMB Bank if you can help it. But again, my wife likes them, so that's where we bank. All right.
Go to Bennington.
Let's play a new game.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you – I've just went to the Gatherer that's working today. Thank you, Wizards of the Coast.
Sweet.
And I've clicked the little button at the bottom that says Eldrazi.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to figure out, just based off of artwork purely – okay, so I need you to go to the Gatherer and look at the website and look at the pictures.
Oh, crap. I have to do stuff.
And I'm just going to click two Eldrazis, and we're going to decide who would win in a beauty pageant between these two Eldrazis. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, wait. So now I have to pick one of these Eldrazis at random?
No. I'm going to give you two, and you're going to have to decide which one is more attractive.
Okay.
So Desolation Twin
Let me go to that one really quick. All right, I'm going to open another gatherer page really quick.
Center click, buddy, center click. Center click the links. Open a new tab. Use technology to its fullest.
No. I'm not going to do what you say.
And Dread Defiler.
Dread Defiler.
I don't want to use easy technology. Both of these conveniently are from the new set.
Yeah.
So you guys should be able to flip over and check them out in whatever is most convenient. So Desolation Twin.
That one wins.
That one wins. This one's more attractive to you. Can you nail down why this one's more attractive to you?
It's got red.
Okay. Valid. Valid points.
That and the Dread Defiler looks like.
Please say it has two penises.
Well,
or four penises.
I mean, yeah. If you look at it, it looks like it has four penises. But I was gonna say it looks like it's got like mandibles.
Mandible.
Did you ever see the movie Teeth?
I was just going to say.
That's why that card loses.
Okay. I'll give that one to you. So Desolation Twin.
That and they're twins.
Let's see. Eldrazi Mimic and Eyeless Watcher.
I need to go the right way. Eldrazi Mimic and Eyeless Watcher.
Yes, sir. So to me, Eldrazi Mimic kind of looks like a anteater on steroids.
It does.
And the Eyeless Watcher kind of looks like a skeleton xenomorph from the Alien series.
Yeah.
So which one's sexier?
I'm going to go with the Eldrazi Mimic.
Okay.
And I say that because...
Like some meat on the bones.
Well, yeah. You know, like you said, it kind of looks like an anteater, and that just reminds me of my vehicle, which is kind of, you know, important for me getting around town.
Your car looks like an anteater to you.
Have you ever seen that thing? It looks like an anteater.
Okay. Let's see here. Do just a couple more. Kozilek's Chandler and Oracle of Dust. Oracle of Dust is probably going to win because it's got red on it, if that's your criteria.
Let me find Oracle of Dust.
I don't know if that's the correct criteria or not. But I don't know. The artwork for this thing is sick.
Yeah, Oracle of Dust looks way better.
Like a little action figures or whatever.
Yeah.
But just sitting there, like obviously it picked up people and smashed them on the rocks, and now it's sitting there meditating. All right, so Oracle of Dust. All right, two more. Visage of Emrakul and Vile Aggregate. So Visage of Emrakul kind of looks like a mountain with legs that like split open. It's like a crab is using a mountain as a shell in my brain. And Vile Aggregate kind of looks like a pile of intestines wearing a suit of body armor.
I like how we're both really close to the monitors right now, just looking at every detail.
Well, I mean, you can't, like, they should really make it where you click on the artwork on the gather and it like zooms up to full size.
Right, it takes up the whole screen.
Yeah, like a high res image.
Yeah. But maybe you should work on that next week while you have your sight down for whatever reason, Wizards. Looking right at you guys. Pay attention to us.
That's right.
Now, I think I'm going to go with a Vile Aggregate.
Okay.
Simply because it reminds me of Full Metal Alchemist.
Okay. He gets you, Randy?
Well, the show does.
The show does. Okay. So, face off. Eldrazi Mimic versus Vile Aggregate. Go.
Ooh. Mimic.
Okay. Boom. Desolation Twin and Oracle of Dust. Now, these two are basically the same creature.
No, it's Oracle of Dust.
All right. Boom. Oracle of Dust versus Eldrazi Mimic.
Oracle of Dust.
Boom. Oracle of Dust is the prettiest Eldrazi today.
Yep.
Woo! Congratulations, Oracle of Dust. You win a full paid You win a free trip to my
binder. I was just going to wait. I was just going to watch you struggle. You win.
I was trying to say full expenses paid trip to my trade binder is what I wanted to say, but I couldn't get all the words together in the same order.
Right.
English language, you're the worst. All right, with that, everybody, I think we're going to call it the show. If you would like to listen to back episodes of the show, you can check them out at samusgrobo.com. Of course, you can also check us out at MTGCast. There you go, MTGCast. I keep getting the Magic the Amateur Girl's brain stuck in my head when I try to read that off. So basically, just go to samusgrobo.com. You can send us an email at the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. You can, of course, check us out at twitch.tv/SamusGorobo. I stream there Monday through Friday starting at 9 a.m. With the exception of a couple of breaks here or there, basically stream until I go to sleep. And then I wake up and repeat the day the next day. So please check that out. Saturdays and Sundays are a little bit different, but there's shows going on all week long. So please check out twitch.tv/SamusGorobo. Of course, if you'd like to tweet us, which Travis has been tweeting a little bit more than usual, and I am getting frustrated and angry with Twitter, but I still read it, and that is twitter.com/turtlepower319 is Travis, and I am Samus Grobo, all one word, SamusGurobo. I think that's all the important stuff, Travis. How would you like to end the show this week, buddy?
I thought we just did.
Checking it. Stream. All right, looks
it says
good.
Live.
It does say live. Hello and welcome. But that's not how we're starting the show. We're starting the show with, I'm going to have a little bit of a rant here. So I was upstairs and making some breakfast / lunch. And I reached into the refrigerator and I pulled out a carton of eggs that I get out of my own backyard from my own chickens and or ducks. Right now they're currently just ducks because my chickens have all died and I didn't get new chickens, but ducks. And I made my scrambled eggs this morning / 20 minutes ago this afternoon, and I started thinking about the fact that people just don't take responsibility for themselves, right? And I wish more people had the ability to keep that in mind, that ultimately we're responsible for our own well-being and our own safety and our own food choices, and that we should take steps as human beings to, like, take better care of ourselves. Whether that means by food and exercising, or maybe being a little bit self-sufficient by having, like, a little garden or a couple of chickens or whatever. Or if that means taking self-defense classes or firearm training or whatever. I just really feel like people need to have a little bit of personal responsibility. They just can't offload all that responsibility to somebody else. I don't know. The title of this episode is On My Horse, and I wanted to get that out because it grinds my gears. I know, Travis. When I told you I was going to have like a little bit of a rant, you were like, maybe don't do that. But what do you think? Am I wrong? Like, one, is this a good little topic to open the show with? And two, I don't think I'm wrong in this situation.
No, like, I completely think you're right. I do also find it funny when you said, you know, people need to, you know, take care of their own health or whatever. As you said that, I took a drink of Surge. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is ironic.
I mean, Sure, but like I know you go to the gym and you work out and you get some cardio in and stuff like that. So while you, it's not necessarily the best thing, but you are taking steps to be healthy. It just may not be as many steps as everybody.
Right.
Like I'm like 200 pounds overweight right now. I'm a huge fatty. Right. But it took me a long time to gain this weight, years and years and years. And it's going to take me a long time to lose the weight and get in the physical condition that I want to be in. And, you know, not all those changes happened overnight. You know, I drank like 3 liters of Mountain Dew a day for years before I realized that I was drinking all this Mountain Dew because one, I was addicted to sugar, and two, I was trying to treat my migraine symptoms with caffeine, and I subconsciously, and I didn't even realize it. So I was just feeding myself gallons and gallons of sugar water all the time before I realized that's what's going on and started taking steps to fix it. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, you should stop drinking Surge. I mean, you should try a healthier drink, but at the same time, if you realize it and you're taking steps to repair it or whatever, I feel it's totally fine to indulge yourself on occasion.
Right. Like, you know, I think you know how I feel about Travis Wu's, just him.
Okay. Wow, we're going to turn this into magic. All right, let's do it.
All right.
I like where your head's at.
I did like one thing about him as a person, and that was whenever he was streaming, back when I used to watch him, he always tried to promote health. You know, tried to promote, you know, being more active and doing more things to make yourself more self-sufficient. But that's about all that I liked about him. And I mean, you know, for the longest time, I'm just like pretty much every other nerd, where it's just kind of like, yeah, I could go do that thing, but look at all of these other activities that I can do where I'm sitting down and I'm just more enjoying what I want to do.
Well, let's segue this just real quick. How's your standing desk?
My standing desk is actually pretty good. I got bored of the sitting desk, and you know, I'm sure as you've seen, you know, when we were streaming and or when we were doing these shows, since I got the webcam, you've seen how much that I move and readjust when I'm sitting and everything.
Sure.
And it's always just kind of been a pain for me just to sit. And I kind of started to notice it back when I worked at the call center. I was just sitting for 9 hours a day, then coming home and sitting, and I could actually feel the pain in my back starting just from not doing anything. And I figure on my, you know, when I get off of work, if I want to sit down, then I'm not going to be at the computer. I'm going to be doing something else, like, you know, reading, because, well, I have a lot of books to read and comics. But other than that, if I'm playing video games, I want to still be standing. But yeah,
I'm just saying that is an alternative. You know, that's one of the steps that you could take that changes your lifestyle, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it's definitely going to help improve your posture.
I mean, standing instead of sitting, there's definitely some energy stuff. I will continue to sit and stream because, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day I'm sitting here streaming, and I don't want to be standing the whole time. I would really love it. And maybe when I do invest in a desk, I will invest in one of the ones that can adjust.
Yeah.
You know, so I could, you know, sometimes, you know, when I want to stand, just raise everything up for a standing situation. And then when I'm, you know, I'm tired of standing or whatever, I can sit it back down. But no, I totally get that. I don't know. I guess my point was just merely there's a lot of people right now, and this is like my Facebook or my Twitter or whatever, the stuff that I'm seeing. There's an awful lot of feedback right now that they want somebody else to take care of them, essentially. Whether they want their parents to take care of them, whether they want the government to take care of them or whatever. They want somebody else to be responsible for them. And I'm an independent person. Like, the people I worry about, that I take care of, are my family and my friends. And I hope that my family and friends help take care of me.
Right.
So I see something like I said, a friend of mine right now, we've talked about him several times. Dan is having some medical issues. We send him money whenever we're able. And, you know, later on, he helps us out with things as best he can as well. Like when we needed to empty out my house up in Niles from a renter that just did a bunch of bad things. He was there to help. So, I mean, it's a relationship that has developed where, I don't know, it irritates me when I see all this stuff. It's just flooding. It's flooding my news feeds right now. It's flooding all my social media inputs. And I really wish people could take freaking a little bit of effort and try to have a little bit of self-sufficiency. And I probably get up on my soapbox on my various podcasts and talk about this at least once a year. And until my news feed stops flooding with that kind of stuff, you know, I think I'm going to continue to talk about it at least once a year. And you can do little things. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to go get chickens or ducks or whatever. You can grow like some herbs in your kitchen on the counter. And then you at least are contributing a little bit to your own self-sufficiency. I'm not saying you have to do it all at once. You can do little things.
Throw like a sack of potatoes in your yard. They'll grow more potatoes.
Right. Or get a standing desk and get a little extra exercise standing.
Well, yeah, and like me, I have like a shelf underneath, you know, my main level where I do everything, where I put my magic cards.
Right.
So whenever I need to actually, you know, get something, I have it low enough where I can't just reach it in arm's reach. I actually have to squat down to get it. So
squat every time you want some magic cards.
Yeah, or if I'm like looking for something, or you know, just random things. Like, you know, it's helpful to start moving.
Sure.
But you know, obviously that's not going to fix everything. And as far as, you know, people wanting other people to take care of them, I understand the desire to be wanted to take care of, but I'm also not seven.
Right.
So well,
it's a matter of personal responsibility and respect. Respecting yourself.
Right.
In my opinion, like you should have enough respect in your own capabilities and your own desire that you should be able to take care of yourself. And I'm not saying you have to do it all alone. Right now, my wife, God bless her, she's upstairs working very hard to basically make the income that pays for all the stuff. Well, I sit down here and I stream video games for 8 to 10 hours a day. And we together made that decision where, you know, she is currently doing the heavy lifting. She's almost always done the heavy lifting financially. Where she's doing the heavy lifting there, and I'm trying to build an audience that will hopefully generate income long term, you know. So here in the next few years, hopefully I will be able to continue to stream and produce content that will generate income for us when we switch down to our tiny house scenario and we don't need as much income, and then she'll be able to sit back and relax and I will be able to trickle in the income. That's my hope. Whether or not it works out, I don't know. But we're taking this gamble right now to put forth the time and energy and try to make it happen. So I'm not saying you have to do it alone. But I am saying it looks like to me every time I go on a social media thing, people are either running to like one political candidate or another political candidate to try to get stuff taken care of or to try to stop their particular complaints or whatever. Or they're, you know, running to the government to have people provide them food or dietary requirements or to remove guns or whatever the situation is. And it grinds on me. It grinds on me, and I just have to let it go sometimes.
Right. Like, you know, not everyone's going to be self-sufficient all the time, but to have people want other things to be taken care of for them, that's just, it's childish. It's like, if you can directly change it, you change it. Don't wait for someone else to do it.
Even if you're just, if you're going from like 1% self-sufficient to 2% or 3%, all of those are, they feel so good. The feeling you get when you're doing something, again, something simple like growing your own lettuce or onions or, you know, anything like that, stuff that's super easy to do. Anybody can do this stuff. And it feels amazing. And I want more people to have it. And I want people to take this ideal, this mindset, and put it into their lives. I feel like there's a lot of people who feel like they are independent people, and yet they want everything taken care of for them. And that's not an independent person. And it just, especially when I look at my friends and they have these conflicting posts from day to day or week to week. And I understand we all can be a little bit hypocritical. I am the most hypocritical person I've ever met. And, you know, I want people to have a little bit of self-sufficiency on their own. That being said, I don't know whether or not this is going to make it to the reported podcast. I hope so. I hope Travis signs off on it. But if not,